Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, February 12th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
attorneys for Donald Trump present arguments in the former president's impeachment trial.
A House committee approves $1,400 payments to millions of Americans.
President Biden says there's enough supply to vaccinate all Americans by July.
And the White House makes plans to stem the global shortage of computer chips.
Indoor dining resumes today in New York City. Plus, there's word President Trump was sicker with COVID than the public thought. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A loss for the Islanders and an outbreak has caused the Australian Open to keep out the fans.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are lower as we head into the final trading day of the week. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 9 points this morning. Dow futures down 56 and NASDAQ futures down 26. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. Yield 1.15% and the yield on the 2-year 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% at $57.87 a barrel. Amy.
Karen, we begin with the latest in the impeachment trial of Donald Trump. The prosecution has wrapped up its case. Democratic Senator Chris Coons of Delaware said hundreds of video clips taken during the Capitol riot revealed how harrowing things were that day.
Many of us in the Senate didn't realize just how close an angry, violent mob came to harming Vice President Pence, to harming Speaker Pelosi, to attacking each of us individually.
Republicans say they will not comment on the trial until after they hear all the evidence from both sides. But they say Democrats made a compelling case. Republican Bill Cassidy of Louisiana.
They've done very well. I think that's generally conceded. And I think everybody looks forward to see how the president's defense team will do.
Now, former President Trump's defense team will make their case in today's arguments. Lawyer David Schoen says they'll show how the president did not incite the riot because he mentioned being peaceful and patriotic during his speech on January 6th.
It's a powerful speech, but when he uses the word fight most of the times during the case, it's clear he's talking about legislators fighting for our rights, people fighting to advocate. And you know, everyone likes to overlook the word peacefully in there.
After the House managers concluded their arguments, Schoen met for about an hour with several Republican senators. The defense expects the trial to be over by tomorrow.
Conventional wisdom says there won't be enough votes to convict the former president, and that includes Senator Dick Durbin, the number two Democrat in the chamber.
I really don't see that kind of commitment on the other side. Luckily, we had one senator join us, Senator Cassidy from Louisiana, who brought the number to six that apparently have seriously considered the impeachment. But, of course, we need 11 more.
Durbin spoke with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. Catch the show weekdays at noon on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
While the impeachment trial is taking the spotlight in Washington, there is progress on the stimulus front. A House committee has approved $1,400 payments to millions of Americans. Those checks would be part of President Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package. The panel also okayed tax credits for children that will be mailed out on a monthly basis.
As the stimulus push continues, President Biden is also making progress on the vaccine front. He says the U.S. has finished deals for 100 million additional doses each from Pfizer and Moderna.
We're now on track to have enough supply for 300 million Americans by the end of July.
So far, the U.S. has administered more than 48 million vaccine doses. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
At the same time, the Biden administration is working to address the global semiconductor shortage that's caused production halts across industries. Bloomberg White House editor Alex Wayne says the administration has come under pressure to act.
There is an executive order on supply chains in the works, but we're told that's not going to be ready for a couple of weeks. A lot of industry folks are saying the White House needs to move much faster. General Motors is idling production and plants all over the U.S. and in other countries right now because they don't have enough chips to put brains in their cars. So this is an actual problem for jobs.
The White House says they're identifying choke points in supply chains and discussing an immediate path forward with businesses and trading partners.
Turning to earnings now, shares of Disney up 1.7% in early trading. The company returned to profit in the second quarter, fueled by growth in Disney Plus, which now has almost 95 million subscribers. Ed Ludlow has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
High-profile exclusive releases like Pixar's animated movie Soul and the second season of The Mandalorian sustained a big surge in Disney Plus subscribers. Disney's also launching an international streaming service called Star in Western Europe, Australasia, and Singapore later this month. When it comes to theme parks, foot traffic did pick up in the final 3 months of last year, which helped narrow losses in that division. But many parks are and will remain closed until vaccination rates reach certain levels. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Ed. And turning to foreign relations now, we are learning more about how China hacked and exploited U.S. tech suppliers for years. It is part of an extensive and exclusive Bloomberg News investigation. Let's get details now from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
In 2018, we told you how Beijing hackers added malicious chips to servers from Supermicrocomputer. Now, our investigation shows the company and others had been the target of such attacks for years. In 2010, the Department of Defense found thousands of Supermicro servers sending military data to China. In 2014, Intel discovered Chinese hackers breached its network through a single server thanks to malware from a supplier. And in 2015, the FBI warned multiple companies that Chinese operatives had concealed extra chips in one manufacturer's servers. Each of these attacks had two things in common: China and Supermicrocomputer. The public has never been told about these attacks until now, and Supermicrocomputer says it has also been kept in the dark. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm offering industry expertise and innovative solutions for your business. Experience the Withum way: innovative, adaptive, effective, trusted. Visit Withum.com for more. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 607 on Wall Street. We bring in Michael Barr now to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Amy. More than 9,000 recovering coronavirus patients in New York State were released from hospitals into nursing homes. According to the Associated Press, it was under a controversial directive back in March that was scrapped amid criticism it was accelerating outbreaks. The new number is more than 40% higher than what had been previously released by the state health department. Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration disputes the directive helped spread the sickness and death among residents. Meanwhile, are masks here to stay in the U.S.? Dr. Anthony Fauci says they will be here for a considerable amount of time unless COVID infection rates drop significantly.
It might be that we accept the wearing of masks the way some of the Asian countries do, where people don't wear masks all the time.
There's word that then-President Trump was sicker with COVID in October than publicly acknowledged. According to the New York Times, four people with knowledge of the matter say Mr. Trump had extremely low blood oxygen levels and pneumonia. Indoor dining resumes today in New York City. Restaurants can open up to 25% capacity ahead of the Valentine's Day weekend. Many restaurant owners say, though, it is not enough to survive and would like it boosted to 50%. Martin Giugino, the New York man seen being pushed to the ground by Buffalo police during last June's George Floyd-related protests, says he is shocked that the charges against the officers were dropped by a grand jury. Giugino, who is 75, says he spent a month recovering in the hospital from his injuries.
You think I'm breaking the law? Arrest me. Don't push me down. What is that in the training manual?
The two officers remain suspended pending the outcome of an internal affairs investigation. Erie County District Attorney John Flynn.
You have to be honest here, okay, as well. Mr. Giugino committed a crime that day, okay? He violated the curfew.
Flynn, however, says he disagrees with the outcome. It's the ending of a symbol of Donald Trump's presidency in New York. The barricades have come down around Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue, and armed guards have departed. Retailers on Fifth Avenue have taken a major hit over the past few years as rents plummeted and vacant space grew. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg Amy.
All right, thanks, Michael. 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for Bloomberg Sports with John Stashower.
Thanks, Amy. The Australian Open being played as we speak with fans now, but after these matches going on right now, the fans will be kept out. They had been letting in 30,000 a day, but the UK strain of the virus moving through the area, only essentials will be allowed to leave their homes. That includes the tennis players, but not the fans. Serena Williams won her third-round match over Naomi Osaka. The Aussie, Nick Kyrgios, always considered talented but controversial. He led Dominic Thiem 2-0. Thiem's won the last two sets. They're in the fifth set. Thiem last year won the U.S. Open. AT&T Golf at Pebble Beach. The American Patrick Cantlay tied the course record. 10-under 62, leads by two. Islanders had three leads on the Penguins, but if Jenny Malkin scored for Pittsburgh, 18 seconds left, tied the game at three, and then another long-time Pittsburgh star, Sidney Crosby, scored in the shootout. Penguins won 4-3. The NHL has five teams not playing right now due to COVID. Devils were supposed to play last night. The Flyers have postponed their game Sunday with the Rangers. NHL announced new COVID protocols. It was a week ago that the Mets thought they had free agent pitcher Trevor Bauer. There was a report he was coming to New York. Instead, there was Bauer yesterday being formally introduced by the Dodgers.
Free agent process was odd for me. It's the first time going through it. I didn't really know what to expect. You know, you kind of go into it with an idea that at some point in the process, you'll have like offers on the table where you sit down and you say, okay, I don't know, well, let me look at the offers and whatever. It played out a lot longer than I guess kind of thought. And I really didn't know how it was going to turn out, but I did know that I wanted to be on a team that had a chance to win a World Series.
And the Dodgers just won it. He's going to get $85 million over the next 2 years with L.A. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Amy.
Thanks, John. A programming note for you. Tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. Sunday's the Daytona 500. Where is NASCAR headed in another year of COVID? And what about Michael Jordan's venture into racing? We talk about it all with the president of NASCAR, Steve Phelps. That's tonight at 7 and tomorrow morning at 11 on Bloomberg Radio, or subscribe to the Bloomberg Business of Sports wherever you get your podcasts. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are sliding in subdued trading, although we are seeing some improvement in Europe right now. Oil futures are falling for a second day. The dollar is strengthening. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are lower this morning after the S&P 500 closed at a record yesterday. Futures down 9 points. Dow futures down 60. NASDAQ futures down 28. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. The CAC in Paris and FTSE 100 are both little changed. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.15%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 45 cents at $57.79 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.33% or $6.60. At $18.20 an ounce. The euro 1.2104 against the dollar. British pound 1.3788. The yen 105.01. And Bitcoin up 1.1% at $47,455. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, lawyers for Donald Trump will begin to present their case today in the former president's second impeachment trial. House impeachment managers wrapped up their emotional presentation centered on chilling video of the Capitol siege. Defense lawyers plan to dispute that Trump had anything to do with it. They plan to present about 4 hours of their case before resting. Yoshiro Mori has resigned as the president of the Tokyo Olympic Organizing Committee following sexist comments implying women talk too much. In the NHL, the Islanders lost to the Penguins in a shootout 4-3. In the NBA, the Celtics and Warriors won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It's 6:19 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. The defense of Donald Trump begins in earnest in the Senate today. Now that the prosecution has rested its case against the former president, we are joined now by Eurasia Group Managing Director John Lieber. John, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time with us. Republican senators have said that they're not going to comment on this case until after they hear all of the evidence. after the defense rests, which is presumably later today. Some top Republicans, however, have said that the House impeachment managers did lay out a really compelling case. Would that be enough to influence Republican votes?
There might be a vote or two that could switch over the course of this trial, but the reality is most Republicans have convinced themselves that this trial is unconstitutional, that you cannot impeach a president who's no longer in office. And it looks like that's probably going to be enough to earn Donald Trump an acquittal in his second impeachment year.
Is there a concern among any side of the aisle about political blowback for those senators who might vote to convict or vote to acquit?
Absolutely. There's definitely concern about the blowback for the conviction vote among Republicans because of the fact that, you know, Trump remains very popular within the party. His base of voters is obviously very organized and passionate, and he himself and his children are threatening to mobilize the voters to mount primary challenges to any senators who vote to convict him in this trial. I think that the advantage they have is that, you know, we are almost 2 years away from the next election cycle, probably about a year or so away from the next primary. So anybody who votes to convict in this trial hopes that this is kind of blown over by then. But I think that fear is absolutely preventing many members from voting their conscience on this vote, which is probably that President Trump was guilty of inciting an insurrection.
Now, a lot of what the Trump defense says it will rely on is that line from the speech that the former president made on January 6th, calling on his supporters to march peacefully and patriotically to the Capitol. But that's just one line in that entire speech, and it looks like that may be what the defense hinges on. But you have also said that it also hinges on the concept of it being an unconstitutional trial in the first place. Is that what's going to do it?
Yeah, you know, they've already had two votes in the Senate to indicate that enough Republicans think this is unconstitutional, and that's a convenient argument. I mean, it does give them the case to say, look, we shouldn't even be having this trial. It just so happens that it was an incredibly partisan vote. It's an incredibly partisan point of view, and most of the members that hold that point of view are people who are either strong supporters of President Trump or, as we discussed earlier, scared of being primaried by his allies in the next election cycle. So this is, you know, it's a political ploy, and it's preventing this thing from any of the evidence that's being presented from mattering for most members of the Republican Party.
Yeah, I want to dig into that a little bit. After they laid out their case and even Republicans said, yeah, they did a very fine job with putting this case together. Why is it such a heavy lift for Democrats to convince 17 Republicans to vote to convict?
You know, the constitutional argument is convenient. It allows them to say that this is an inappropriate trial. It's basically voting for kind of a hung jury in this situation. But the blowback and the political fear is really strong. And I think, you know, it's important to note that President Trump left office as a deeply unpopular president, but still the most popular person in the Republican Party. And going up against him, it seems like a suicide mission, I think, for most Republicans. Now, you're probably going to get maybe five or maybe six Republicans who vote to convict. Maybe the course of the trial, they picked up a couple more votes. And I think it's important to note that President Trump's defense lawyers did a bad job earlier in the week. And if they do a bad job today, they may push a vote or two from the acquit side to the convict side amongst Republicans. But that's not going to be enough to get you the 17 you need to get a conviction here.
And, John, we only have about a minute here. Can you explain if this trial could have an impact on the Biden presidency as we look ahead in about a minute?
I think for Biden, it's mostly a sideshow. I think it's going to capture headlines for a few more days here, and then it's going to be over. His confirmations of his cabinet will continue. And most importantly, the large fiscal relief package that he's pushing is moving apace in the House of Representatives, and this in no way is going to slow that down or affect it.
All right. We're going to look ahead at that stimulus package that's being pushed through Congress, as well as the Biden administration also buying up more coronavirus vaccines, saying that they're going to be able to vaccinate all of the citizens of the United States by the end of the summer. So a lot more things going on with the Biden administration as well. Eurasia Group Managing Director John Lieber, always a pleasure. I want to thank you for joining us this morning. Much more still to come on Bloomberg Daybreak as we do continue our look ahead as the defense takes the Senate floor in the impeachment trial of President Trump. We'll also look at that stimulus package making its way through Congress. Later this hour, we'll be talking with Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Checking Rising futures now, they're lower, a quarter lower. S&P futures down one quarter. Dow futures down 0.2%. NASDAQ futures down 0.2%. Brent crude trading at $60.73 per barrel. COMEX gold now at $18.18 per ounce. Much more still to come on Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Attorneys for Donald Trump present their arguments today in the former president's impeachment trial. Here with more is Nancy Lyons from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
House impeachment managers, including Congressman Ted Lieu, spent their second day of opening arguments painting a picture of Trump as someone who egged on the violence for months.
When you or I make a mistake and something very bad happens, we would show remorse. We would accept responsibility. President Trump didn't do any of that.
Lead impeachment manager Congressman Jamie Raskin asked his Senate colleagues if they truly felt Trump would not do it again if given the chance.
Would you bet the lives of more police officers on that? Would you bet the safety of your family on that? Would you bet the future of your democracy on that?
For those who say Trump was exerting his First Amendment rights, Raskin, a constitutional law scholar, says nothing in the Constitution can excuse his betrayal of his oath of office. In Washington, I'm Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Nancy. And while we wait for today's latest developments in Washington, we're seeing progress on the stimulus front. A House committee has approved $1,400 payments to millions of Americans. Those checks would be part of President Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package.
The president also says the U.S. has finished deals for additional vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna. Now there should be enough to vaccinate all Americans by the end of July. Biden made the announcement at the National Institutes of Health in Maryland, where he also blasted former President Trump's response to the pandemic.
He didn't order enough vaccines. He didn't mobilize enough people to administer the shots. He didn't set up a federal vaccine centers where eligible people could go and get their shots.
So far, the U.S. has administered more than 48 million COVID vaccine doses. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
And turning to Wall Street now, Disney shares are up 2% after the company posted a surge in Disney Plus subscribers. More on those results now from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The world's largest entertainment company returned to profit in the latest quarter. Subscribers to the family-oriented video service grew to 94.9 million in the period. That exceeded the 90.7 million average of Wall Street estimates compiled by Bloomberg. Sales and earnings also topped projections. CEO Bob Chapek pointed to the streaming growth as a sign the company's shift away from traditional media is paying off. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. S&P futures down about 11 points. Dow futures down 75. NASDAQ futures down 26. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. News update brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer, Land Rover above and beyond. Let's bring in Michael Barr to tell us what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Amy. Indoor dining resumes today in New York City. Restaurants can open up to 25% capacity ahead of the Valentine's Day weekend. Many restaurants say that it's not enough to survive and would like to have it boost to 50%. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams spoke to ABC 7.
Restaurants are clearly the bellwether of our entire city. And if they're not open, if they're not able to do business, it's going to impact tourism, employment, and the clear ecosystem of our economy.
More than 9,000 recovering coronavirus patients in New York State were released from hospitals into nursing homes under a controversial directive in March that was scrapped amid criticism it was accelerating outbreaks. The Associated Press reports the new number is more than 40% higher than what had been previously released by the state health department. There's word that President Trump was sicker with COVID in October than publicly acknowledged. According to the New York Times, four people with knowledge of the matter say that there were concerns that officials believed he would need to be put on a ventilator. 5 weeks of stumbles by Microsoft on New Jersey's COVID-19 vaccine booking software have left the state pushing for daily fixes on almost every part of the system and doubting it will ever operate as intended. That's according to members of Governor Phil Murphy's administration, who say the glitches have led New Jersey to rely more on the county and hospital-operated websites that are working well and have helped schedule more than 1.2 million doses. A wave of winter weather from the northeast to the southwest caused icy conditions and deadly wrecks. In Texas, a 133-car wreck on Interstate 35 near downtown Fort Worth left at least six people dead. Fort Worth's Deputy Chief Neil Noakes.
The scene we saw today is one really unlike one probably any of us have ever seen, and one we pray to God we never see again.
Several dozen others were taken to area hospitals. Jazz pianist Chick Corea has died. Corea won 23 Grammy Awards and worked alongside Miles Davis and Herbie Hancock. Chick Corea was 79. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Amy.
All right, thank you, Michael. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Amy. Australian Open officials had been very careful. All the players had to arrive 2 weeks early, stay in quarantine before the tournament began. They were letting in 30,000 fans a day. After the matches that are going on right now, the fans will be kept out. Spiked due to the UK strain of the virus, there's now a mandatory 5-day lockdown in Melbourne. The Aussie Ash Barty is the women's top seed. She was asked just yesterday how they were dealing with the virus.
We've put a lot of trust in all of the professionals down here to make the right decisions for the right reasons and know that they can run a tournament safely. And I think that's a real bonus for us to be able to have that connection with the fans and to be able to share these moments with them as well. So I think that's a really positive thing, and we just have to know that we've put the trust in the right people to make the right decisions.
On the court, Serena Williams and Naomi Osaki both won in straight sets. Novak Djokovic playing now. He leads American Taylor Fritz 2-0. Third seed Dominic Thiem trailed the Aussie Nick Kyrgios 2-0. A team now leads 4-3 in the fifth. AT&T Golf, Pebble Beach. First time in 75 years without the amateurs and celebrities. American Patrick Cantlay has got the opening round lead. Tied the course record with a 62 in Cantlay's previous round 2 weeks ago. He had shot a 61. Islanders got a point but can't be happy about their 4-3 shootout loss to Pittsburgh. Isles had three different leads. They led 3-2 until an Evgeny Malkin goal with 18 seconds left. Knicks are in Washington tonight. Nets begin their 5-game road trip tomorrow night at Golden State, where Steph Curry scored 40 in a win last night. Kevin Durant expected back tomorrow from the COVID list. It'll be Durant's first game against the Warriors since he left them to join the Nets. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Amy.
All right, thank you, John. It is 6:38 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names that are moving in the pre-market. For that, we are joined by Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Amy. Yeah, we can start with Walt Disney. The shares are up 2% in early trading. The media and entertainment company reported an unexpected profit for the fiscal first quarter, and Disney's revenue beat analysts' average estimate in a Bloomberg survey. The streaming service Disney Plus ended the quarter with about 95 million subscribers, more than analysts expected. You've got PayPal Holdings up 2.5%. The online payment company told investors that it's considering moves into stock trading and high-yield savings accounts. And PayPal predicted that the number of users will roughly double to 750 million by the end of 2025. I tell you, though, there are some companies whose shares have really taken off lately. They came out with earnings, and their stocks are down. One of them is Affirm Holdings, the lender to online shoppers, down 5.5%. Now, it had a wider than expected loss for the fiscal second quarter, but revenue beat estimates. And then there's Cloudflare. This is a provider of internet services. It's down 6.5%, even though results for the fourth quarter and forecast for the first quarter and year top projections. You also have Dexcom down 3%. This is a company that provides glucose monitors. Fourth quarter earnings came up short of estimates. HubSpot, though, a digital marketing company, up 18%. Fourth quarter results beat projections, and so did HubSpot's forecast for this year. We're expecting results today from the household product maker Newell Brands, the credit rating company Moody's, and the Virginia-based utility Dominion Energy, among others. We have some calls in the electric vehicle industry. Fisker's up 11%. The EV developer received the equivalent of a buy rating in new coverage at Morgan Stanley. The firm also favored battery supplier QuantumScape. It's up 6%. Two other stocks, Lordstown Motors and Romeo Power, received the equivalent of sell ratings. They're both lower. Then you have Bumble, up 2%. The dating site soared yesterday by 63.5% on its first day of trading. Bumble's initial public offering raised $2.15 billion, more than twice as much as the company originally planned. And, well, it wouldn't be a day without a blank check deal. Falcon Capital Acquisition up 9%. They agreed to buy the healthcare information company ShareCare. The combined company is valued at $3.9 billion. And health insurer Anthem agreed to invest in ShareCare as part of that deal.
All right. Thanks so much. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you so much for joining us. City of London has little to celebrate after the first 6 weeks of freedom from the European Union. The financial district lost its crown to Amsterdam as Europe's top place to buy and sell stock. Traders have shifted interest rate swaps out of the city, and relocations of bankers are set to continue in 2021. S&P futures down 10, Dow futures down 73. This is Bloomberg. Morning Call is brought to you by Columbia Bank. Why Columbia Bank in 2021? Because only Columbia delivers modern and convenient banking solutions with a personal community touch right in the neighborhood, online, and right where you need them most. Count on Columbia, member FDIC.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures lower this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
Hello.
Bill,
hey,
good morning.
Morning, Karen. Good morning, Karen. Futures are in the red right now, with Dow futures down 74 points, S&P's drop 11, NASDAQ futures declined by 26. The U.S. 10 yield at 1.15%, gold is down 7, and Shanghai remained closed overnight, while European markets are trading quiet right now. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, Michigan sentiment. And after the bell last night, Disney streaming beat estimates. Shares are up 2% pre-market, and Carl Icahn took a stake in Bausch Health and plans to push for changes. In other news, Bitcoin hit an all-time high, and wrapping things up, Carnival and other cruise stocks were cut at Berenberg amid higher risks, and Sonos raised to neutral over at Goldman Sachs. Live from the First and Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, defense lawyers in former President Trump's impeachment trial will present their case today. House prosecutors concluded their case saying they've proven that Mr. Trump is guilty of inciting an insurrection when a mob of his supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. The Republican-controlled Mississippi Senate has voted to ban transgender athletes from competing in girls' or women's sports in the state's schools and universities. LGBTQ advocacy group Human Rights Campaign is condemning anti-transgender bills in Mississippi and other states. In the NHL, the Islanders lost to the Penguins in a shootout, 4-3. In the NBA, the Celtics and Warriors won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Stimulus won't be as effective if schools are closed. I'm Carl Smith, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Democrats believe a strong recovery is key both for President Biden's economic agenda and his political prospects. But for their $1.9 trillion spending plan to be effective, the economy must be able to absorb as much stimulus as possible as quickly as possible. The slow pace of school openings will prevent that. From a public health perspective, reopening is an easy call. But Democratic governors and mayors have been reluctant to push back against objections from teachers' unions. That's where a strong stand from the president can make all the difference. If Biden were to forcefully back reopening as rapidly as health officials say is safe, that would tip the scales in favor of embattled state and local leaders. Standing up to teachers' unions might be politically tough for the new president, but not doing so could imperil his entire agenda. I'm Carl Smith. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what is going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the second impeachment trial of Donald Trump. It continues. The prosecution is rested. Now it's the defense's turn. President Joe Biden announced the U.S. has finished deals for 100 million additional vaccine doses. And a House committee has approved $1,400 payments to millions of Americans. Let's get more on all of this now from Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. She joins us now live. Emily, good morning to you. Thanks so much for taking the time. Republicans saying they're not going to comment on the trial until they hear all of the evidence. But still, we've heard from a few who have commented that House managers made a compelling case. What could that mean?
Yeah, Amy, so we have heard a number of Republicans really praise the House managers for the job that they did, but we haven't heard a lot of them say that their minds were swayed or changed by what was said. Granted, a number of them note that they still have to listen today to Trump's defense team give their presentation, but a number are still really hung up on the fact that they are trying to remove a president who is no longer in office, and they're worried about the constitutionality of that. They're also saying, we've heard from a number of lawmakers, that while, you know, they were obviously very moved and worried about the mob that attacked the Capitol, they didn't think that the House managers made a strong enough link between the mob and former President Trump.
The defense team had also said that they've changed their strategy after hearing the prosecution's case. What does that tell you?
So we're expecting to hear a shortened argument from Trump's legal team. In fact, they said they only might need 3 to 4 hours today, meaning that this trial could wrap up as early as Saturday. They're expected to argue that Trump did not provoke the violence on January 6th, highlighting parts of his speech where he called for peace and patriotism. They're also going to play videos of Democrats using fiery language to try and argue that there's a double standard that's being applied to Trump here.
Okay, and we're going to watch that as it gets underway this afternoon. Want to turn now to the pandemic, Emily. President Biden securing more doses of the vaccine. Can you tell us how these deals happened, and do we know why these didn't happen any earlier?
Well, they were actually built into the contract that was initially assigned with some of these distributors and pharmaceutical companies. Biden said that the U.S. is now going to have enough doses of the vaccine by the end of July to cover every American adult. He was able to secure 100 million more doses from Pfizer and German company BioNTech, as well as 100 million more from Moderna.
Now, that's an important point that you just made before we move to our next topic. Those delivery dates were moved up to the end of July, so we're not quite out of the woods yet when it comes to getting vaccinated against the virus.
Absolutely, Amy. I mean, the deal does not immediately expand access to these vaccine shots, which are currently in short supply and are having some issues with distribution. So while we're looking for an end of July timeline right now, this isn't going to fix any problems within the next month or so.
Now, looking at the stimulus bill for President Biden, he's been working with lawmakers to get it approved. The House Ways and Means Committee has now signed off on part of that relief package, providing those direct payments to households. This seems like some progress, but is it going fast enough?
Well, this is about the timeline that we were expecting. I mean, we have got 12 committees that are working on parts of this bill. They are going to be working on the bill this week, and then next week they will combine them into one larger package. From there, it will go to the House floor for a vote the week of February 22nd. And so, yeah, you're seeing these marathon markups in these committees that are sort of adding various pieces to the bill. You saw a panel on education and labor moving legislation that will provide billions to schools, food assistance programs. It would also include gradually increasing the minimum wage to $15.
And very briefly, do you get the sense that there is a pressure, an urgency to get this done? What is that timeline in about 30 seconds?
there's definitely an urgency to get this done. Deadline for this is mid-March when some of the unanticipated unemployment insurance benefits run out. And right now, Democrats are on track to meet that through the budget reconciliation process.
All right, Emily, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with the latest on what is happening in Washington, D.C. You can read more about these stories and much more on Bloomberg.com or find them on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all of the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington on Bloomberg 99.1. Karen.
All right, Amy, thank you. It's 6:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. 14 of the largest U.S. health systems have formed a startup to pool patient information. They're aiming to streamline efforts to analyze anonymous data to improve care, develop better therapies and drugs, and promote more equitable treatment of underrepresented groups. The venture is co-owned by hospital systems, including Chicago-based Common Spirit Health, Tenet Healthcare, Trinity Health, and New York's Northwell Health. Miami Mayor Francis Suarez has proposed paying city workers and collecting taxes in Bitcoin. Miami is also exploring investing funds in the world's largest cryptocurrency. Suarez has been courting Silicon Valley investors and technology companies, and he thinks adopting Bitcoin is a critical part of that plan. And a company catering to women and led by women has made its 31-year-old female founder a billionaire. Shares of Bumble, the owner of the dating app where women make the first move, soared 64% in its trading debut. That values Chief Executive Officer Whitney Wolf Hurd's stake at about $1.5 billion. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Amy.
All right. Thanks, Karen. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. February is Black History Month, and Bloomberg Radio is celebrating pivotal moments in U.S. Black history each day. Here with today's installment is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in Black history in 1909, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People was founded. Riots in Springfield, Illinois were the final tipping point that led to the creation of the NAACP. The group aimed to secure for all people rights guaranteed in the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the United States Constitution. Today, the NAACP is the nation's largest and widely recognized civil rights organization with more than 500,000 members and supporters globally. Its mission continues to be ensuring the political, educational, social, and economic equality of minority group citizens of the United States and to eliminate racial prejudice. That's today in Black history. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. And futures this morning are falling with S&P futures down 9 points, Dow futures down 62, and NASDAQ futures down 25. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.15%, yield on the 2-year 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1% or 58 cents at $57.66 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.5%. It's at $18.1840 an ounce. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. And for Amy Morris, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg.